I just turned this on here.
All right. Our regular meeting and public hearing, North Bend Planning Commission, Thursday, October 25th, 2012, at City Hall. First item on the agenda, minutes of the September 27th, 2012 Planning Commission. The motion to approve is written.
Second.
Any discussion, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Our second item tonight is the public hearing. Because it is a public hearing, I do want to go over the rules of the public hearing and give a little background for those directions. Purpose of tonight's public hearing is to listen to comments on the draft energy and sustainability element of the comprehensive plan. Take that testimony from the public prior to going into deliberations and consideration of passing that same element on to council with our recommendation. So whether that be tonight or at some point in the future. There are sign-in sheets both for the public and for those who just wish to speak in the back. Mr. Costello, I believe you're the only one I'm seeing here so far this evening. So I probably won't even get up to get the list, depending on if someone else shows up. As with all public hearings, all of the Planning Commission meetings, of course, this is recorded, and written minutes will be available at the appropriate time following the meeting. I do expect to adjourn, and I only say this because this is what it asks me to do, but I would expect us to adjourn no later than 9 o'clock. I would suggest that we hear speakers, and we can be a little bit flexible as we have one, but I believe 10-minute ought to be a pretty adequate time to address, and we'll move from there per person, of course. Written comments may, of course, be submitted, and I believe we should reserve the time for when we want to allow written comments until we get to the end of the public hearing, and I'll kind of take your the general gist of the commission. The choice is that the public comment, written comments, would close with the hearing unless we were going to extend the time period. And the Planning Commission does intend to deliberate the element tonight and may take action if that's the wish of the majority. So, order of events would be a staff report, public comment, followed by Planning Commission questions, then we'll close the hearing and open deliberations. I did want to mention as we begin this evening that the draft energy and sustainability element of the comprehensive plan that's before us was first directed to the Community and Economic Development Department to develop this policy in August of last year, 2011. Planning Commission began consideration in August of last year, and by my count, this will be the 12th time that we've had this item on the agenda and have held meeting on it, and that included six public workshops that were held over the course of the last year. So we looked at this a number of times. With that being said, Mike, I think it's your go.
Okay. Well, I just want to first say thank you to the planning commissioners. We haven't gotten to a recommendation on this yet, but you guys have had a lot of meetings on this, as Rob just mentioned, and starting from well over a year ago. Just I'll keep the introduction brief because I think all of us have been a part of this process and are familiar with what the document is. As you mentioned, the council did direct our department to develop an energy and sustainability element that came largely out of the state requirement to its state agencies that when they offer competitive grant and loan funding, that they need to consider whether the local jurisdiction has adopted greenhouse gas emissions reduction policies. That, in addition to some other state requirements, such as the requirement to transition vehicle fleets to alternative fuels or electric vehicles, and also just the ability to be ready for change. The early bird factor, or the survival of the fittest, and that if we adapt ourselves by measures of conservation, we'll be more ready for increases in fuel prices, electricity prices, and so forth. And then also just to ensure that we've got an appropriate balance between economic, social, and environmental objectives. So the document is created for three primary audiences. First, to citizens within our community, and to them we are just providing this as an information source, providing them links to other agencies such as Puget Sound Energy, King County Solid Waste, and so forth, that have programs of their own that address measures of sustainability that those citizens can then participate in, or just see information to make good decisions on their own. The second community that this is targeted to is the development community, creating policies that try to create development that is more energy efficient and more sensitive to environmental factors, and at the same time addressing those policies as incentive-based policies rather than requirements. And then finally, the third audience being the city and our own operations. We have a lot of street lights, wastewater treatment plant, buildings, infrastructure that use energy, and creating policies that help us to consider how we use that energy more wisely is something that brings about objectives of sustainability while also reducing taxpayer dollars. Rob already touched on a lot of our public outreach. We've conducted four primary workshops in addition to a beginning scoping workshop, and we have modified the draft significantly with the public input that we received in those workshops. And that brings us to the final draft that you have before you tonight.
I also noticed when I was reading the draft recommendation, and I'd forgotten because it was quite some time ago that we had submitted and received back from the state comments and then adjusted to that as well. So at this time, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll move into the public comment. Mr. Costello, we're all fairly familiar with you, but for the record, if you would state the full name, address, that will be
sufficient. I'd be happy to. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. I'm Larry Costello, 13050 470th Avenue Southeast, North Bend, 98045. The first thing I would like to address is just to take a couple of minutes and offer some comments on the notification process to this meeting here this evening. I did communicate with Mike and Rob via email and express some concerns about what I'm characterizing as a lack of proper notice from my perspective, access to the document to be able to review it. The first I became aware of the document was on October 18th, care of Mike's email. There was no notify me notice. I've signed up and have been deliberately involved in that process for many, many, many months. But there was no notify me system to advise me that the public hearing was going to be part of this planned October 25th commission meeting. The notify me system did not also provide a notification of the availability of the draft document. So as Mike has pointed out, although it had been posted to the website back October 1st thereabouts, that was something that just was not aware of. There was no notification process, and I didn't go try to find it, I guess. So unfortunately, I didn't have a workable document, the Word document, where track changes in an effective way could be used until October 18th. So as a consequence of that, I didn't feel that I haven't, frankly, I have not had sufficient time to do a comprehensive review of the document. Because of that, I would request opportunity here tonight and ask the commission if they would be able to consider extending a period of time for the public to submit written comments for another week before closing that period and making final deliberation and decision on it. I've only gotten started on this current version, and I would like to do a very careful cross-check and so forth, and I just haven't been able to do that. So anyway, I make that request, and I appreciate your consideration on that. With that, I do have a small number of comments that I would like to present then. With regards to section 81 in the document, there is a continued reference to the Brooklyn Commission, albeit it is in a footnote now. However, I still am concerned about that and the references to the Brooklyn Commission and the associated socialist doctrine, frankly, that commission report represents. I still do not feel that it has an appropriate frame of reference for our community to be using. It's not necessary, and I don't believe that it's a necessary frame of reference for the objectives that we're really seeking here in the form of this comprehensive plan element. I would advocate that the document be customized for our community based on its needs and interests, and not copied and pasted out of United Nations type guidebooks, which much of that section A1 literally is copy and paste. It's not something that's been thoughtfully put together as a customized frame of reference built out of this community. I would like to see it done more on a customized basis and embracing our fundamental American principles of unalienable rights, self-reliance, limited government, fiscal responsibility, and free markets. And I would like to see those principles talked about openly and vigorously in this document, because I feel, and others do, that those are key elements of being able to sustain ourselves as a society. They are fundamental principles of this country, and that's really what has made us great. So I'd like to see us turn back to those and find opportunity to make reference to those. And on that note, as I mentioned in the previous meeting, in lieu of the Brundtland Commission and that definition of sustainability, I would like to once again propose that we refer to and advocate for a concept of enduring prosperity. And that can be said is to thrive in health, happiness, and financial security in perpetuity. Those are standard definitions of enduring and prosperity. And I think they capture and frame the essence of what we're trying to talk about and achieve here in sustainability, and is doing so without deferring to perhaps some controversial documentation in the form of the Brundtland Commission and the documents that were produced by the United Nations back in the 1980s. Moving on, in Section B, concerning the private property rights, I feel that right now I've written the section has been diminished in effectiveness from other proposed versions, and I feel that it's unacceptable. As it's written, it suggests that there are fundamental differences between the public interest and individual interests, and that's not necessarily true. And in fact, I hope that that wasn't true, that there would be a solid alignment. As written, it suggests unalienable rights, specifically private property rights, of the individual can be compromised to the public interest, and they can't. And that's protected against by our state and federal constitutions. So, again, I feel that there's room for adjustment to the language in that section and move it back towards a more positive and reinforcing statement. Nowhere else in the comprehensive plan is there mention of protecting private property rights. Additionally, nowhere in the municipal code of North Bend is there any mention of protecting private property rights. Achieving sustainability is dependent on the wealth created from the private property, and therefore the protection of private property rights as the superior standard to which all other policy and regulation must be measured needs to be emphasized in this comp plan revision. So again, I'm going to strongly advocate that we make adjustments in that section to shore up private property rights. And then the last comment that I was able to bring forward here this evening is more of a general statement, but again, as I mentioned previously, the document does not address the significant problem of government growth, expenditure, overregulation, and exploding debt that are the biggest challenges, really, to any definition of sustainability that we may choose to use. And I'd like to see that that understanding is emphasized in clear terms and appropriate policy developed and considered on that basis. And in closing, then, simply because I just haven't had time to do more work on this document, I would once again request an opportunity to complete that process. And no later than next Thursday, I would be able to submit written comments if that were acceptable. So that's all I have for now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Planning Commission questions for staff or amongst ourselves during the public hearing. Of course, we, once the public hearing is closed, and deliberations, you're also obviously able to ask questions anytime you want. Anything at this time?
Are we going to kind of go back through this, not line by line, but page by page, kind of? Is that your proposal at the moment?
That's totally up to the commission, but I would presume that once we get into deliberations, that any concerns or anything you want to look at, be looking at. Yeah.
Just for clarification, have you closed the public hearing?
Not yet. I'm still just pausing to see if there were any Planning Commission questions during the public hearing. Hearing none. Okay. This time we will close the public hearing, and we will move on in the agenda. Open deliberation and possible consideration of the draft energy and sustainability element of the comprehensive plan. Jim?
Yeah, I kind of had got some scribbled notes that I carried over from our last meeting, as probably everybody does, you read it again when it shows up in the mailbox. Thanks again for doing that. It actually forces me to go, all right, now I need to pay attention because the meeting's coming. So I appreciate the mail. Just a kind of a broad question. I mean, we're doing this whole thing, the sustainability project, which we started a year plus ago. The impetus for it had to do with state regulation, grant money, get ourselves proactively oriented so that we're in a good place to do that. Is that an accurate statement?
That was the seed, yeah.
Okay. So I come back to that and say, okay, what if we don't do it? What if we decide we're going to table this thing for another year? Are there, pardon the movie line, real and present dangers for us to lose something if we don't have this in place?
Yes. We do have a lot of projects on our capital improvements plan for road improvements, for wastewater improvements, et cetera. And we do have interim policies that are in that resolution that the council passed addressing greenhouse gas reduction. But those were intended as interim policies, and it's in a resolution, not in an adopted comprehensive planning document.
Yeah.
And so I think state agencies are not going to look at a resolution that's 3 years old as being a very sound policy basis when they're considering whether or not we've adopted greenhouse gas emissions reduction policies.
Okay. I wasn't advocating for delay. I just wanted to get clear on where are we focused on. You guys are agreeable with it. I'll just kind of go through my pages here in order, and if there's something else pops up, don't let me go too far. So I'm just looking at the Chapter 10, first page here, under Section A. It just struck me the way this is written. This is the second paragraph, the last couple of lines. The policy of this element are additionally intended to support greenhouse gas emissions reductions, which enable the city to compete effectively for important sources of state grant and loan funding that favors such factors. Is federal money in this conversation?
Possibly. I don't know what the criteria. The state one is the one that we know very specifically has said greenhouse gas emissions reduction policies.
Okay.
There's probably other sources out there that I'm not aware of that also ask similar questions.
And as I was reading it, I thought to myself, do we need to say that? Could it just be compete effectively for important sources of funding? Yeah, I was trying to understand why we spelled out state versus other.
We could get rid of the word state there, and we did clarify some of the state language further on down into the document.
Okay, and this comes back to something I've said many times before. It always bugs me when I think there's a potential that we're doing something, we're laser beaming a focus on our efforts so that we can get money from somebody. I always wonder, are we missing something else that's much more important because we're so focused on making sure we don't miss the grant money that's floating out there in somebody's bucket? So I bring it up again as a comment. And I I agree with the public comment regarding the Brooklyn Commission in almost entirely in concept and the origin of the information and the political spin from its origin of the UN. And I also think that maybe there's not a need for us to outline where we've got certain language. Because when you reference it, if you fast forward out into the distance, someone could say that they're going to take the Bruntly Commission document and apply it to something else just because we've codified it. We've made it part of our scenario. So I wonder, based on that potential, is it worthwhile, and do we really need to have it even mentioned here? I'd say strike it and we're not hurting anything.
I'd say if it's a direct quote, then you need to cite your source as a writer background. If we don't want to cite a source, we develop our own definition.
That's what I think. And Jim, from what you're saying, you don't have a disagreement with how we define sustainability. It's just the same.
Not in general. I mean, I get, you know, we could wordsmith that paragraph all day I could tell this group we could probably go there. My thinking is, it's kind of, if personally I don't feel right about the source of the information, I might take the information and say, this is good information, I agree with, I verify my own sources, but I don't quite bite off on everything else that the provider came with, then I don't need to necessarily add credence to the whole story by using that name. And I don't see a downside, certainly other than we're not going to plagiarize this. You know, there's no downside in my head to just striking that and tweaking the language slightly so that we're not just copying without giving proper credit.
That's what I thought. I mean, when you type in definition, there's a number of national sources and groups that have their own definition that's tweaked, and so why can't we just look at all those and then just come up with a sentence that fits North Bend?
Well, I guess to Jim's point, I mean, we can wordsmith it to the end of time if we're not choosing one that's been widely accepted or promulgated, then we are truly crafting a definition unique to us. I'd have liked to seen us do that within the last year.
Yeah,
I guess would be my first point. But I guess to you know, I think this is one of those. I'm not hung up beyond again. I believe that it is a good definition. I believe because we are indeed citing a different source, that citation is in order. But I don't have any particular concern about it being this particular source or not. I think from my perspective, I took comfort that this was a very broad and widely known definition and use, and I'm not seeing it as anything beyond the definition of sustainability that's used to help frame the overall element. So I certainly don't see or have any concern myself that somehow by using the definition that a member of a commission set up by the United Nations representing the entire world might or is of the Socialist Party and the country they are, I just don't get there at all myself. I'm focused on what are we trying to define, and that we've got a solid definition, and you know, I just don't see the connection that somehow that taints the good work of the rest of the document. So that's my two cents. I'll certainly go wherever.
I'm in absolute agreement. It's a sentence. I think it says what it needs to say. I mean, I'm not sure what all the controversy is, but I don't link it back to any sort of political agenda by this body. nor the city of North Bend. And it is just that one sentence that seems to be aptly put. So the other element, too, is that when you're writing a document, if you're going to cover it with citations, it is good to have some historical, you know, means of support and whatnot. But the same token, I'm fine with exploring a different definition. I just don't see the political link, or I don't make that connection myself. So I agree with you.
And I'm not a student of this gentleman's work, so I'm not proposing that. But I also think of something very simple here. We've taken this quote and made it part of our section A1. The paragraph that follows the quote practically states the same concept with different language. So a quick, easy solution in my mind, strike the quote altogether, continue on with what we've written. The language speaks to that point, and we're not even going to the idea of getting a reference that to me is potentially offensive, and potentially not what our citizens might think of when they talk about sustainability.
Oh, yeah. Portland Commission. I don't
mean to take this so at such a level of seriousness, but it is a big deal. It's not just us this week, this month, this year. This is the kind of stuff that kind of lays over the land silently until somebody asks to do something.
So I don't want to sour the waters entirely, but if you put in the text of what the paragraph below says, you're going to get the results on Wikipedia from the Brundtland Commission doctrine, because it is what that is, the three pillars of sustainability that most of, well, everyone that I found has sustainability policy, whether it was a country or a state, had those same three pillars in their documents. And so I don't know that just removing the quote, you still have the text of that, of the 1983 commission.
Still plagiarism.
I'm not up for plagiarism, and I don't know if I can make my point any clearer. So,
I'm just saying, taking that out doesn't go anywhere in a way, because you're still gonna research. Yeah,
see, my general takeaway, you know, was that a lot of this could be cut, but the one audience that, you know, that you're speaking to, the citizens. My thing is that we can cut a lot of this and just put FAQs in the back, but the fact is somebody who's picking it up for the first time may need some of the subtlety and some of the introductions and so forth. So if it is a problem with this commission that this particular section is too much of a site, why can't we just jump right into why is sustainability important in North Bend and mingle some definitions in there? And
I think it is important to mention or to describe what you are considering as sustainability. So whether or not that be this definition or prosperity or other factors, we need to think about what we're talking about and then how that applies throughout the rest of the document. Yeah. How everything else relates to sustainability.
You have to operationalize it, I understand.
I'll leave it alone for the moment, yeah. Okay. I think I've made my point, unless anybody had a question of what I'm saying.
How many people are viscerally affected by it? Is it?
You'd have to.
I'm talking about just us.
You'd have
just
to study
just
in.
Just the commission.
Among the members.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I'd say yes to that. Okay. That's almost a little more than my thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at it more as a. In fact, our current political conversations that are going on national TV.
Right.
If you watch those, somebody will point out that their opponent referenced some crazy wild thing mm-hmm. 5 years ago in some text that gives that gives credibility to this side of the story that he's trying to talk about. Mm-hmm. So when you reference something that you're using in your efforts, even if you're not thinking of the whole body of the person's work, down the road, it's kind of like that opens the door for the whole analysis to be applied to whatever the subject is in the future.
I get that. And I'm with you on the concept. I guess where I've been from the beginning is that the commission happened to be named the Brundtland Commission because apparently Mr. Costello is the one who brought this to our attention. That was the chair of the committee, and it is that person who seemed to have some political controversy about them. It could have been the UN Commission. It could have been the Smith Commission.
Yeah.
It matters to me not what the name of the commission was.
Right.
It was a UN body that got together and did this work, and that's been widely adopted and used throughout apparently the country and the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not looking to hang it up on the name of one person, one member of that commission. That would be like hanging what this body does on your name,
right,
or my name. That would make very little sense.
I can take your point and say this. If you think about the UN concept as it may apply to a citizen of the United States, on the surface, it's kind of like, that's kind of cool. We're part of the UN, and we want to all be happy family. But the minute something comes from that body and tells something to a citizen of the United States about how they should conduct business or how they should treat their property, the hair on the back of my head stands up. And so that concept, just all by itself, you know, I want to get along, and I'm thinking globally, but I'm also not thinking I want to go and join a body that's going to start telling me how I need to do things.
Well, see, I think that's more informative, because that's really getting at the heart of that. It's an objection to a certain philosophy of governmental structure,
right?
That's not about the name.
And no, it's not the name. It's a multi-layered thing.
But is this passage doing exactly what you're talking about? It's not telling us that you have to do this and there's some direct agenda. They're helping conceptualize what it means to be sustainable, and they did a pretty sound job of it, right? They're taking these abstract thoughts and putting it into a clever chart and all this other stuff.
Right.
And folks are just adopting it because, yeah, it's a good way to explain it. So I guess I'm still trying to struggle. I see your point. But at the same time, I don't see how that's being used here. I mean, I cite Shakespeare, who was a drunken and an adulterer and all sorts of stuff. There's plenty of historical people that we can cite that have problems, but it doesn't mean that that moment of clarity should question everything. And if it's sound and just or makes sense to whatever it is that you're trying to use.
If you were making a presentation to become a member of the priesthood, you wouldn't say, as Caesar says, given the context you just created.
No, but I would say, if I was Anthony, I would say, friends, Romans, Christians, lend me your ears.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, that's why I'm curious how many people here in this body are really taken back by it, because if it is a big issue, then we need to analyze it. Otherwise, I think we just move on. It's been on the plate for a long time now. Plenty of time to knock it around. So we should just move on to word it, if you will.
Don't go there.
and to your point, three other members, yep, generally quiet.
Yep.
No matter what definition you quote from somebody regarding sustainability, you're going to have an argument.
Yeah.
I don't care where you find it out of text, from some environmentalist or some government agency, you're going to have controversy. And someone will not like it. So you're not going to get around it. Even if you define your own what sustainability means for our community, or you're still going to have somebody that's not going to agree. So you have to come up with something that's acceptable for the group, and then learn to understand that you're going to have somebody that's not going to be happy with what you do. So,
Scott, anything more?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a problem with the statement. I guess my thought is that if it does cause issues to people, then maybe there's another way to say it. And And since maybe that, looking back up to the front, you were doing this so that we can get primarily state funding, maybe other funding. How does this, I guess I haven't looked to see, and maybe some of you have, how the state defines sustainability. Do they quote a source? Or, I mean, maybe we go with, if they don't, or maybe we can say the state defines sustainability this way. And I don't know, if we found that, maybe that's an easy, we're doing it to get state funding primarily. Maybe we just side on, this is what the state has chosen. If they've chosen this doctrine, then so be it.
Well, Mike, that would best go to you in your research, your knowledge, did the state go to the definition of sustainability?
I don't believe there's a state definition of it, but I have run across this definition on the Department of Ecology's website on sustainability.
So I think from, as Brendan and some others are suggesting, so I think my preference is that we need to move on. So we got two ways to do that, either okay, motion to change, and we'll take a vote.
If somebody's got questions about what I'm thinking, fire away. But if I've made my point and there aren't any questions about it, I don't want to get all bent out of shape, just a little bit. So I can keep walking. I can keep walking on this. And as you, I would say this: as you go out and listen to people talk about their property, mm-hmm. and as it applies to what we're talking about, this overarching concept of sustainability, mm-hmm. think through from their perspective, because this is organized to make sure we don't miss out on money. But after a while, it becomes part of our ordinance documents. It becomes part of our planning documents. It becomes the way we do business, right? That's the next step of this. When we're done with this, it goes to the next level. It becomes locked in the books.
Well, I think regulations or programs are developed based on policy.
Yep. Yeah.
But
so,
Brendan.
Well, I was just going to say, I think one of the other things too is to look at the document in its entirety and what it is that we're trying to do and the objective. And if there's a passage in here that somebody has a political ideation or a problem with, and they're going to dismiss the whole thing, then that's unfortunate. But we're also looking at it from an incentivization type perspective. And though this will eventually become more of our policy and so forth and how we model and shape going forward, that's fine. But I'm afraid that there's a punitive element that's coming up that I don't really see there yet. And so I just want to put that out as a comment to that I don't see this as a punishing document that's serving some sort of political agenda.
I think we could probably do a whole semester.
2 hours on that.
Semester. I could see it. Yeah. I could probably have fun with that. But I won't, to your point of let's get the brevity dance going, so I'll go on further.
Brevity is the soul of wit.
Oh yeah, there you type that in. Go straight to the ecology page. Straight to this definition.
Okay.
I guess that answers my question.
So I'm on page 2, just kind of walking through this. Page 3, it just occurred to me that the way this is written, 2009, the second paragraph is electric biofuel vehicle operation requirements. So again, we're looking back to the legislature who's, in their infinite wisdom, said we're going to do this by this date, therefore everybody has to fall in line. 100% of their fuel usage for operating publicly owned vehicles and construction equipment. And I realize there's a June 1st, 2015 kind of revision window, but diesel's not mentioned, just biofuels.
Do you mean biodiesel?
Can be a biofuel, but yeah, if I were the city right now, I'd be probably picking up every time I needed to replace something that was anything bigger than a half a ton, it'd be diesel. I wouldn't do anything else. I wouldn't buy gas. So that's what got me thought. That's what we're thinking about this paragraph.
You mean as because of the city, ability to switch it to bio?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If it's diesel, you not only do you run forever, but you can quickly get into this biofuel scenario. You're not doing it with gas, and the engine wears out faster. So for the city, I'm thinking wherever this comment applied, it struck me in this when I was reading through this. That's just a comment. And if there's no discussion, I'll leave it where it is. page 4.
Just, and then maybe this is, I agree either way, but just when I'm, like, reading through this, and when I get to A4, for some reason I feel like I should have read that first, like after the, you know, the quick introduction. Just kind of like, it sets up what the document is, and I think I would be okay not knowing, you know, what we define sustainability as. But I don't really, it's not a big deal, but I just thought, I looked at that, and I was like, it just seemed like something that should come up first, because we're talking about what's in this element, right? So what we're saying.
Can I ask for clarification? Are you feeling that maybe what is currently A4 should come after A1?
I think it should be before A1, even.
Part of the introduction?
Well, just because it's like, it's telling what this document contains, but it's on page 3. So it just seemed weird to me when I read it.
That's all. Third paragraph.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of, tell them what you're going to tell them, tell them to tell them what you told them?
Yeah, I mean, you probably know more than me on the whole, but just I read that and I'm like, huh, that would have been helpful on the first page.
I think that's a good point.
Thanks, it's a great third paragraph.
Yeah.
Yep.
I may need to do a little bit of wordsmithing to see how those fit together, but I agree with you.
Yeah,
makes sense.
I like it.
Yep.
So that's a third proposal, third paragraph, right?
Mm-hmm.
Under introduction. And I'm just kidding. I want 4, if that's the way to go there. So this comes back to if we're going to apply concepts to how we function as a city based on how the UN has created its guidelines, then at least work with me on the wording under paragraph B, section B, sustainability property rights. The way this is phrased, and I don't know where the language came from, but if I'm reading this for the first time, it's glaring to me that the focus is on the public, not private individual rights. So my proposal basically is, as I read this, sustainability involves striking a balance between protecting, insert the word individual, interest, with those of the, strike the word, individual and insert public.
You just want to reverse the occurrence of public and individual. Is that what I'm
saying? It sets the flavor that I would imagine every single private property owner would want it to read, not the other way around.
So if I could just repeat that and make sure that I got it. The first sentence, sustainability, protecting, strike public, insert individual,
yep.
Interest with those of the strike individual, insert public.
That's my suggestion.
Any comments, concerns?
I'm going to speak against, because I believe that the sustainability policies were developed for the community and the society as a whole and not the individual. And so the focus is then on the general public and the body that sustainability and environmental soundness measures are supposed to be focused on protecting, so they're not taking advantage of poorer communities. And so for that reason, I would say no.
Poor financially? So what comes to my mind is this is saying it's the government's responsibility to protect the public before it protects the individual. That's what I read this to say.
I believe that's constitutionally not permitted.
It's written that way. I mean, this is semantics. I own that. But
yeah, because I'm seeing a balance. He's striking a balance between this and that.
Why? It's okay. Why then? Why is there one order over the other?
I didn't. I don't detect where you're going.
I think the key word is protecting. Are you protecting first individual interests or protecting public interests?
So this is one of the sentences, I believe, in addition to the paragraph in general that we reviewed edits of, I think, at our last meeting, and this was the result. But I can say from my perspective, the key to me in the sentence is striking the balance. So I don't have any objection to which of those two words occurs first, because it's about balance between the two. I think they're they're equal in the way that they appear. So, so I guess what I'm saying is I'm not quite sure what you're seeing, Jim, and I'm not even sure what Gary's seeing. So I'm open, totally open on the order.
Does it help any, Jim, if you just see striking a balance between protecting public and individual interests, period? Then it's not really, I think when you, the way it's drawn out, maybe you see a hierarchical thing that I'm not seeing there, but that's what I feel like you're, I don't know, does that help with?
Yeah, and I'm not an English major either, so I mean, we could go around it, but if you look at this last, the central part of the sentence, it says protecting public interests with those of the individual. It's like the individual is an afterthought in the structure of the sentence. We could probably do some diagram to break it out that way, but it's the flavor of the sentence is the individual is second, not first. Once we take care of the public, then we'll take care of Bob and Sally Smith. That's kind of how I see the sentence written. And I would argue strongly that whoever wrote the sentence was thinking
that way. Was thinking that way?
No, not all of us wrote the sentence. It was created at our last planning commission meeting.
I mean, what I see more, you know, as I'm thinking on it with like the psychology of it is we're going from a broad to narrow. Well, there's a funneling effect here. I see what you're saying from the hierarchy standpoint. I don't necessarily agree with that, but...
Which, by the way, you were part of that wordsmith.
So, to
what Scott was saying,
totally focused on something else.
If somehow that makes it less hierarchical to you again, I mean, you could.
I'm just saying, say public and individual interests, and just leave out the. That's it. Period. Or individual and public interest.
Yeah, I was just saying.
In Jim's case, I think that would be better to put that. Or maybe the slash. I don't know.
How about the word equally?
Equally between.
Balance equally.
As determined by you in protocol.
Yeah. Right.
Got it. So I liked what you said. I think covers my issue.
Okay. So let me read it back then. So the edit that I believe I heard is that the sentence will now read, sustainability involves striking a balance between protecting individual and public interests. Period.
Well done. Okay. So, following that thought, in ES Goal 1, in the italicized bold print, the last line there, the same thing, the way that sentence is structured, has the same effect. So, do we make the same added change?
I guess since we introduced it first, the other you could, but I don't see that.
No. I mean,
so individual and public. So between the
individual
public
property rights and the public interest.
I think it's an absurd question.
I'm just going to put it out there.
Jim. Well, I'll put it this way. There's so much in this concept that we're codifying by saying sign off on it and send it to the City Council. Maybe they're going to debate about it or not. My suspicion is they're not going to take the time. They're just going to go, okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
And it started, and wherever it started, trickle down, and we're just passing it on. There's lots of things conceptually in here that bug me, like pretty much most of it. Because if I'm going to waste my trees, if I'm going to waste my gas, if I'm going to throw a half bottle of water away, bloody hell, it's my choice. You know, I got to pay for that. I got to write the check. But that's the market working. Telling me I can only have a half a bottle of water because I've thrown away one already.
But that's not what this document is saying. What this document is saying is if you choose not to throw away a half a bottle of water, then there could be some perk in it.
The minutia of it is really hard to talk about. The overarching concept, how this is going to play out on top of the individual property owner who can do X with his property, now slightly less as this goes through. That's where I'm coming from. And I'm looking at little pieces and parts of it that are kind of, like I say, the author of the document has written it a certain way. It's kind of how it came out of his pen. Well, the structure of the sentence is not thinking about the individual first. It's all throughout this thing.
I appreciate what you're saying, but I see it as a different type of document where instead of an individual being impacted by it, you're talking about like Coca-Cola moving in and taking all the groundwater out of our system so the city has no more water for its citizens. That, to me, is what the public interest is that this document should be protecting.
Try getting a well permit from the Department of Ecology right now. They're bigger than Coca-Cola ever thought about being.
But the city can...
I love you, man.
Yeah. So in that sense, I don't see the connection between the individual, you know, dumping, you know, little boiler gas in their yard versus, you know, somebody souring the water supply for the city. I think, yeah, difference.
Okay. So, reeling back from the philosophical.
Yeah. Well, I just went to a huge picture, and I'm settling for a little wordsmithing here, guys.
Well,
come on.
So. So what I believe I heard, again, was in the ES Goal 1, following at the sentence in city operations through balance between, you're requesting a flip of the two phrases so that it reads appropriate balance between individual property rights and the public interest.
Yep. Well, if we're going to be truly balanced, we need to alter them as we go throughout the document. If we're constantly changing,
I didn't catch a lot of them. I don't know that it's actually there that much.
I think Brandon's saying you have to have one person and the other one.
Some balance.
So you have to have
Bill two guys.
Right. So he's not complaining about that too. Yeah. Well, and the font should be the same. Is that what you're trying to go?
That's still
the
same. Yeah.
All right.
All right, I appreciate you guys putting up with it.
Any objection to changing the two phrases?
Well, gentlemen, I'll sleep better tonight. I've done just a little bit to help the common man.
I appreciate that you put that on the record. So I'll make the statement that I believe that makes no change to balancing the public and individual's interest. That is the goal.
Cool.
Can we reverse goal two to be public awareness first?
You're a smart ass in the room. You want to make that up?
Anybody else on
page? I'm going to buy him a drink.
Anybody else on page five?
I'm just curious, and this is just the discussion, because taking a step back and then coming back, I felt like there was a lot that could be cut. But again, thinking about the audience who won't know so much, is it really serving us to have so much of a breakdown of greenhouse gas emissions and the different fluorocarbons and all that? Is it really benefiting this document?
Can I just ask clarification? Are you
section
referencing
D.
the chart or the whole section?
Yeah, section D. I think
what's important to state is that carbon dioxide is the one that we have the most impact in addressing.
Okay.
I think the chart helps illustrate how large it is compared to all the other sources.
Okay. I think where I was getting bogged down is that carbon dioxide is the most dominant. However, we have methane, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I wasn't putting forward to strike. I was just on a reread. I thought, are we getting too much in the weeds with some of this or not? I just threw it out there.
Well, I agree. I mean, you get bogged down in scientific, you know, minutia. I like the chart.
Yeah.
Hearing no changes, page six.
I had a question. Right at the very top in the parentheses, it says Washington's transportation emission. Is that supposed to be electricity? That doesn't make sense to me.
I'm sorry, say
so
again.
So Washington's transportation emissions percentage is skewed above the national average due to the generation of most electricity in our state from hydropower sources.
No, that's correct, because by having hydropower, it lowers our energy emissions.
So transportation is
naturally bumped up.
Okay.
I see one typographical. I believe it was being correct to have a period after the word below when you're putting a parenthetical. The period does follow the parens at the end of the sentence.
Where are you at?
Same place that, that
first word
Scott
on the
was. First word below, strike the yeah. period.
Okay.
Scott, do you want to clarify that?
No, that makes sense. I guess seeing it as a percentage, I wasn't. Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure.
And to your question about the graphic, I have revised the coloring in the graphic. It is a graphic just from the Department of Ecology, so I couldn't change it, but I changed the tonal color so it's a little more clear.
To the question I just suggested to Mike, that all the purple was pretty tough to read.
Yeah, that's kind of a warm, fuzzy fuchsia.
Are you pulling out a PowerPoint?
It came out of a Department of Ecology document.
Is it a chart or an image?
It is a, well, just like that. It's a...
It's just it's a picture. It's a picture of a chart.
I don't recall if it's...
a functional chart.
It's just a picture.
It's probably
a
picture.
Well, because if it's just a functional chart, you put it in PowerPoint.
Yeah. What I did is I just put it into grayscale and then upped the contrast and the brightness, and that made it a lot more clear.
Anything else on six?
It's not exactly relevant to a lot we're talking about, but I learned yesterday, I thought I'd mention to you guys. Seattle City Light's largest customer, you know, the watershed behind us is Seattle City Light owned, operated. That's electricity generation. Their largest customer is University of Washington. University pays Seattle City Light $1 million every month for electricity.
Interesting. Page 7?
Yep.
More than Boeing even, huh?
That was the radio is where they came from.
Wow.
So I trust my ears, but if anybody needs to check it out, look it up if it's wrong.
8? Just a tiny typographical thing. Right under F, the city's role in electricity conservation comes through monitoring and reducing consumption of needs to be added.
Thank you. Sorry,
where are you?
Did you?
Very bottom of page 7.
Oh, bottom of 7.
This is so small.
And where's the word missing?
First, on the first line under F,
yeah.
At the end of it, consumption of, said at, of.
Okay. Or in, maybe?
Or in, something.
In its own operations.
Consumption.
Where are you? Reducing consumption.
7.
Page 7. In its own operations.
Okay. Something. Wasn't registering, though.
Thank you, yeah.
Yeah. Agreement on in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks, Scott. Page 8?
Column. I like these little information bulbs we have kind of called out, but the only problem I have with this one is that we don't even own a traffic light in this town, and we're talking about the replacement of traffic signals, the lights and traffic signals. That's a great reduction. I just thought, I mean, if there was an example that shows the replacement of city lights to LED, mm-hmm. it'd be much more applicable as the public. It'd be like, oh, we should do that. It'd be more supportive of something like this. It's like, we have roundabouts on the 6-year tip. We're not putting any traffic signals in ever.
Kind of goes to the point of the pre-meeting conversation about LEDs.
Yeah, that's, well, this is kind of what sparked my thing, because then I was like, do we allow it? You mentioned that we do. And then that's why I drove down County because I wanted to look again. I'm like, well, maybe it is. But since that's another point of it.
Well, how about I look for something like that?
Yeah.
If there is a quote.
Yeah. I would just think it'd be good to see. There's got to be something.
Well,
yeah.
I would even. We could do that, or we can pass it as is with the suggestion that as it's going through council, if you find
sure.
an appropriate
mm-hmm. yeah.
substitute. But I think it's a great idea. What we do control
yep.
is the light bulbs in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could just strike it.
Anything else on 8?
Because this is the whole LED discussion will come down the line as we kind of try and implement some of these policies. So, no.
Okay.
page 9, that the same window got my attention, and I don't know if it's just my math, but I know a gallon of gas is about 6.25 pounds per gallon. So burning a gallon of gasoline emits 20 pounds of carbon dioxide doesn't jive somehow.
They're not my numbers, it's the EPA's.
Is it 2 pounds, maybe? I'm just saying, we're putting that in the dock, and it's doesn't, they have math in it, right? 2 pounds, maybe.
Well, but the carbon dioxide's not coming solely from the gasoline, it's coming from its combination with the other elements.
Air, right? Pulling in air.
Right. 2 oxygen atoms for every carbon atom.
All right, okay. Right?
Can you get that up on the chart? I didn't see that.
2 oxygen atoms.
My only comment to that is, what's the,
to the gas.
I don't know if I see the point of
that's a great statement.
Because it's like, are we saying we just need to go away from gasoline vehicles altogether when we make a comment like that? Or, I don't know, that's my
because those words, that's exactly, like, strike it.
So if we're comfortable, that's not erroneous information.
Exactly.
20 pounds of carbon dioxide comes out of 6.25 pounds of fuel. That's,
I think that ratio is about right.
Okay, I'm happy then. Thank you. I'll move on down to under G, second paragraph. And I'm in the middle of it where it reads, this can be done by providing complete streets and pedestrian pathway networks. Complete streets.
Complete streets is a understood term in planning and transportation.
So connectivity and streets.
Sure, yeah, connectivity and sidewalks, making sidewalks, bike lanes, making sure it's not just built for cars.
Okay. And the other thing I want to take the opportunity to, every time I hear something that lets me, every trail anywhere around our town should connect. And they ought to connect to some, if they connect to an endpoint, the endpoint ought to be like a parking ride. Mm-hmm. We have that is like the biggest practically free thing relative to everything else we're creating and building that really ought to be on the top of the list whenever it can be.
Although sometimes there's private property that you can't connect.
And they need to buy it so that they can continue the trail.
On your point about complete streets, do you think we should change that so it's clear?
That's a good point.
So it should be connected streets?
More of a, layman's way of saying complete mm-hmm. streets?
Well, or perhaps if the phrase is correct, complete streets, then it maybe needs a parenthetical to explain what that is.
So it's addressed in the transportation element, though, right? In the land use element, I think if, as long as it's addressed in there and it gives a better definition of complete streets, I don't think we need it. Because it's saying, you know, go to these documents to go learn more about those.
Yeah, the land use element and transportation element. Right?
We could just provide a little more description in there. This can be done by providing interconnected streets with sidewalks and bicycle lanes.
Yeah.
I mean, layperson says, hell, we're not finishing our roads around
the layperson is not
going to read
this.
Is that
gravel roads? What?
Mike, is that phrase comprehensive?
Complete streets? Or
you named three pieces of the complete street. Is that everything? Or because
is that a complete?
That's mostly everything or nothing.
I
think that's just
complete,
about all of it.
Maybe
yeah.
Defining it in parentheses of what you mean by complete, so that way it's really apparent. You can keep going. Which individual section of the transportation
office. Blasted engineer. So what are you adding, Mike?
So we'll leave in complete streets and then just put in parentheses interconnected streets with sidewalks and bike lanes.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Next thing on my list was kind of both 7.3 and 7.4. I know we beat this turtle, but he's turned into a horse. But every day I am struck by a semi hauling ass through town. And he can't be making a delivery, most of them. In the idling scenario, in fact, I watched somebody, the what do you call it, the carrier behind the trailer was an open trailer, probably used to haul debris, maybe soil, rocks, etc., but I look more to be like what you put rough logs in, backing up along the frontage of QFC, and he probably is still there right now, or he went shopping. He was not making delivery.
No, they put a for sale for wood sign there.
No, I'm talking full on.
Oh, full on?
Full length. Yeah. The whole frontage of QFC has got a truck in front of it. And it's just one more time of, I know we've got to kind of evolve with it, but trucks don't need to be coming downtown when they've got two or three other choices. And when they park and idle, even if it's at a stoplight, and more significantly, when they leave the stoplight, the plume of smoke, it just keeps coming back. And I'm wondering if this is another spot to... Have we done enough on that?
We do have 7.5 on that case.
On the street corner, agree to that stuff.
What about the individual driving the truck?
Yeah, 7.5 would address.
Would you be more inclined to ask for a designated truck route that is more connected without stoplights or stop signs so they could flow through?
I think that's going to happen right now, right? Isn't that kind of in the works? The call it Nintendo loop?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you want a designated and signed truck route that says, you know, gross vehicle weight, this North has to go this way.
It is a truck route currently, yeah. And I don't think we could have an alternate to it yet until we make the connection across the river, which is a long ways out.
Well, when 202 ends at the freeway, basically, right, at I-90, mm-hmm. It doesn't turn left or right at North Bend Way. So anytime there's a semi on that truck, on that route, not on the state highway, if I'm not mistaken. So aren't we kind of patrolling that roadway as the city?
Right. I was referencing not 202, but North Bend Way. I'm saying that is a designated truck route. That's the old Sunset Highway. And so what we'd be looking at is changing it from a designated truck route. The question is
I think the biggest solution will come when we create that Nintendo Street, because what happens right now is semi-trucks are prohibited from turning right onto Bendigo because of the... very limited clearance between the building.
They're not straight be able to physically, but they manage it.
Yes. And so therefore they have to go all the way down North Bend Way to the next exit. So that'll be alleviated with that new connection.
Yeah. Okay. And I didn't mean to get a long conversation, but I want to bang a drum one more time. So thank you for listening.
North Bend Way to take a right there is what I don't get. I always think of them as they got off the freeway too early and they're headed to the truck stop. And they just go all the way through. Because I see them go... I mean, I speak for all of them, but I see them go past 430.
I've seen them come off the freeway around the roundabout, pull up in front of McDonald's, and then come back and go right straight through town.
Sure.
Instead of going back through the roundabout.
So I'm just curious where they're going. Right. Yeah. I mean, like where they're coming from. Right. They
so that we don't debate where trucks drive
around. Yeah, sure. Sorry.
I think we're done on page 9.
Yeah.
Page 10.
One more thing. Idling / Jake break. We never talk about the Jake breaks. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. That's cool unless it's, you know, 5 o'clock at night or 5 o'clock in the morning or 7 or 8 o'clock at night.
We may have that already in the noise ordinance.
Do we have a sign?
Noise ordinance on the highway, but they still do.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen any signs. I haven't seen any no idling signs. I haven't seen any no parking signs. I haven't seen any no whatever that term is.
It's an engine brake.
I think it is.
Engine brake.
Compression brake.
Yeah. I mean, it'll rattle the windows if you're in the second story and they go by. So anyway, that's my speech for that story. I don't want to belabor it unless somebody else wants to talk about my room. Remember, I'm all for brevity here. So I'm going to go with it.
I've been for 8 years.
8 years?
Yeah.
Well, it's been that long?
Well, just this is my truck count.
Oh, I see. See, he wasn't talking about me.
I'm talking about the jigsaw.
Page 10.
When you turn it on, coming down. So
9, 10, yeah.
Anybody got anything on 10?
11. So I had something conceptually, again, under resource consumption. It actually fits very clearly under the environmental, don't, you know, create something and ship it around the planet, and just because it's cheaper, we buy it as a city. So there could be easily inserted under resource consumption some language that talks about preference to buy local products, as local as they may be found. And I don't know where that may already be in there somewhere.
We do have another section that describes that under local economy. What's that?
It says where possible and economical, by local, basically.
Yeah, policy ES 4.1 on page 7.
Benefits of buying locally. How do you measure that?
If it's significantly more expensive.
Well, okay, so Stafford's going to, what's that, 5 cents? How do you do that math?
Well, each one of them is going to be its own decision. So.
That's why it's a general statement of policy.
Yeah. Maybe we come back to this, but there's something we can probably do. I mean, I think of one example. If you were going to go out and buy slug bait, and it was cheaper to buy a pallet of stuff with a brand name that wasn't particularly Cory, and you don't realize that the Cory's literally produced right down the street, and you buy the other product because it was X cheaper, we've just blown the program I'm trying to describe. And it's not because it was, you know, you looked at price and it was on the list. Can you indulge me in a really quick story? I spent a bunch of time in the Air Force. Part of that was in contracting. And the systems go back 20 years ago when you were going to buy a roll of toilet paper, a jet engine, a specific nut or bolt. You literally sat in front of a computer screen, punched in the order that came from somebody, someplace on base. The order number, the PO had a number associated with a part. The parts came up on the screen. The very first one was the last place that you bought it. The one down below that priority was minority-owned business. You see where I'm going.
$10,000 toilet seats.
Exactly. That's exactly how that happened. It just kept ratcheting itself up, so these people are just doing their job, placing their orders. So that example can maybe lead you to some language here that says we need to do something that strengthens the ability that you might want to buy something locally. You actually go figure it out. Go do the research, find it locally. Don't just pick from a list and get the cheapest thing.
So I'm in agreement with you on the thought. And is what you're looking for at this level of policy, or more at the specific procedures that
would
implement the concept?
Yeah, it fits here because of the idea that if I needed a solar panel, I want to produce something for an office building, or we're going to do something improvement to the shop, and I'm shopping solar panels to do that. The cheapest one comes from whatever company that actually is produced. You know, we ship plastic to China and it gets tripped back here. Well, that's
but the question is the encouragement language, as pointed out, 4.1 or 4.4, isn't that... That's getting at the idea of what I think you're suggesting. It's just not going to the specifics of the particular things you're talking to. And that's why I'm not sure that there's some other sentence or language at this level so much as it is how will we go about, you know, to your point of, well, how are you going to go about evaluating the cost of the product versus its benefits? Well, that's beyond this document. That's right. Where you've got to get down to the specific procedures that you're going to follow. And I think that's kind of what you're speaking to.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just, this brought it to my mind, and maybe it's already spelled out somewhere else. And if it's not spelled out somewhere else, then let's get back to it when we can. I don't know if
my guess would be it's not spelled out. It's to be spelled out.
This is saying it's to be spelled out.
Yeah, I guess I don't want to spend a bunch of time because it's a big topic. But I would offer, you know, if we could agree to come back to this at a future meeting, specifically focused on buy local, that cold conversation, and what is the city doing to make sure that they do whenever possible, not where possible. It's kind of like there needs to be some more strength to that.
Well, is the objective tonight pass this on or to table?
Yeah, I'm cool with the way it's been written.
Okay, but you just mean it's
a and I'm asking to say, hey, let's get together again on this. I mean, I don't think it belongs here. I don't think you can put structure in how purchasing happens in business.
No, it's not intended to be in that level of detail.
To some degree, I'm not sure if like purchasing procedures is even purview for the planning commission. Well,
no, it wouldn't be.
It's under the heading resource consumption.
Yeah.
It all follows in there.
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like everybody's in agreement to come back to it, and I'm happy with that.
Page 11, 9.7. After the word laptop, I'd like to insert or tablet.
About monocle helmet.
I don't know that they're going to catch us.
I'd go the other way and look for language that's broader about electronics whether it's a laptop, a tablet,
a digital reader.
We can just get rid of the technology there and say through the use of electronic packet delivery.
Okay.
There we go.
I don't agree that that's right because getting electronic packets.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
But it's what do I need in the meeting, and I still end up with the paper at the meeting. Well, so I think it's more. And I'm not sure quite how to say it.
Samsung Slate.
Maybe it doesn't need to be said. Consider implementing paperless city council meetings through the use of electronic media.
Why do we have to leave it at that? Just
end it
at meetings.
Paperless city meetings.
Yeah. That works.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. And the sentence at meetings. Period. Okay.
Yeah, that word consider kind of makes it whatever the heck you want. And if I could afford to leave that page, back under 9.1. And I had kind of highlighted the phrase environmentally preferable. Is that a hyphenated word? What's the story there?
Environmentally preferable purchasing?
Yeah.
That's a pretty commonly understood term. EPA uses that, Department of Ecology, or the state as a whole uses that.
It's like complete streets for him. I'm good again.
Is that your only question?
No. And then I'm being really picky here, but there's two commas on the fourth line.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Good one.
Here's it. On the top of 12, waste reduction recycling. I think it was in Renton's city planning meeting where they talked about their garbage negotiation that not only did they make their arrangements for what they were going to pick up and what the fees were going to be and all that, but there was also an outreach requirement demand that the provider of the service also made sure there was certain marketing and outreach concepts going out to the public and the citizens.
The educational.
Because that was paid for by the vendor. And I don't know when that time could come, but that's a huge part of it. I mean, if you think about where we've been, I remember, plastic carton bins being dropped off. People didn't know what to do with, and they got thrown away because the purveyor chain before people figured it out. But now, I think most people are pretty privy to what they can recycle and what they can't. But it seems like, under the heading of this whole discussion, there ought to be some outreach part of it. Mm-hmm. As an example, just a stupid example, I saw, I think it was Waste Management's marketing. They were going around and placing fairly silly, stupid labels on the cans about what goes in them, because they were able to kind of manipulate. When they could all of a sudden take oil, for example, they changed the labels on all their cans, so people would start putting oil in it. Just, that's just the first
thing.
I think what you're speaking to sounds like it ought to be a policy statement that's 10.5, I suppose. It would be a pretty simple statement of provide, I don't know, you want to say encourage language or provide language, but it would be educational materials along with appropriate programs, something along those lines, not too tight.
What if we just add to the end of the sentence, through outreach and education?
Where?
At the end of the sentence on 10.5. Reduce waste production and increase recycling rates in the community through outreach and education.
Goal 10?
Page 10.5.
Yeah, my thought was, I mean, all that's good. I'm cool with it either way. My thought was more about putting it on the purveyor to make sure that it's current, updated as they evolve their process. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, that negotiation happens between the city and the purveyor to say, you guys are going to do this. It's in the contract.
To your point, actually, I'm going to say now that I flipped the page here, reading 10.6 seems to be the place to add that. So when you're saying, we're already saying, here's the ensure language, ensure solid waste contracts provide, blah, 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 you're simply adding and education, or whatever phrase you think is most appropriate.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it seems like it's already in that statement somewhat, but yeah, we could call that.
So what if at the end of the last sentences there, the one starts, ensure these services are available through, you know, all the way through businesses alike, and what if we make that comma, including appropriate educational
collateral materials. Are you talking 10.6?
Yes.
Okay. My guess is their contracts, they've already got structured lines in there.
Yeah, well, we're a good many years away from our next contract, but it's something that we could...
Just to, for everyone's benefit, make sure that we're in agreement on what we've heard. And altering the last sentence of ES 10.6 to change the period after alike to a comma, and adding the phrase including appropriate educational collateral material. Period.
Strike the word and before business.
Agreed.
I don't know if it fits appropriately in that sentence as much as it does in the first one. Do you think?
Because you can't do it the first one same without education.
And I think it might go better after we say ensure that solid waste contracts provide the complete and convenient opportunities for resident participation. I'm almost thinking instead of resident participation, it's educating or resident educational and or something along that line.
Or maybe participation and education. Would that cover the whole notion right there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think it goes better in that sentence than it does.
That's a little simpler.
Yeah, much simpler. Okay, so we're in the first and the previous, and we're in the first sentence of ES 10.6, after the word resident participation, adding and education. Correct?
Correct.
Good idea. Okay.
So, can I go on equity? M? Equity? Get that far?
On 13.
So that's the same kind of BS that I was talking about earlier. It's about phrases and concepts that are implied the way sentences are structured. So municipal governance and land use decisions are made in consideration of input from the public. That's like, yeah, we'll listen to you, we'll think about it, but we're not really going to do much from the public input. That's what that sentence says to me. It's kind of not strong enough. It's kind of like the government's forgetting that it's working for the public.
Right, considering.
Well, what I propose is it reads a little differently. Municipal government and land use decisions are made with guidance from the public. I don't know, maybe I'm getting it.
No, that's good.
You know. And then the sentence following that, it's very important for overall balance and sustainability to ensure that all voices are represented. Strike heard of. Or. Did that make sense?
You know, the word guidance, I guess.
Yeah.
I think.
So the first sentence.
Versus guidance.
Yeah.
That's my only thought.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about how it's written, other than the way it's written now. It's kind of like it's suggesting the public's just an afterthought.
Yeah, I looked at it more like, I guess the opposite is, before decisions are made, you need to consider the public input first. You know, it's not just this body's going to arbitrarily decide something. So I look at it as considerations, that is more of a firmer word, or firmer phrase. They're saying, look, these decisions are made in consideration of what's going on with the public. Public input, you know, that's the way I read it.
Yeah, well, to your point, when you first said it, Jim, what I'd have changed was the word in to with, made with consideration. But again, it does, in a sense, seem stronger. I don't feel.
I take it that, you know, government, none of the decisions can be made solely by an individual body. The public input has to be a part of that process.
That's important.
And so we need to consider that, right? So yes, public comes to give us a point of view, and we can dismiss it or not, but the fact is that we need to thoughtfully consider it.
Absolutely. Well, and you and I agree, I think.
Yeah.
It definitely needs to happen. I guess the way the language hit me was it's kind of like, well, we'll think about it.
Yeah.
No, we're not really going to pay attention, but you can talk. That's the way it hit me.
But the follow-up sentence is, you know, ensure that all voices are heard or represented through local government. So it carries on further that there isn't just one body, one mind making the decision there. Right?
Yeah, and I think let me put it this way. I think there's a lot of, if you go out and kind of feel the public about what they think of government, a lot of them, they're going to speak up. They're going to tell you, yeah, you know, I voted... I sent 5 letters to my congressman. I've been to 27 meetings, and they don't listen. So that's what I'm trying to get at.
Well, you have all voices, so if you're going to consider all voices, then you're going to have the flip side. Yes, I think government's great. I think we're on track. So, you know, that's why that consideration needs to be there.
You were suggesting something in the second sentence as well, and I missed that.
You want to just strike our heard.
Strike the word heard and the word or, and just voices are represented through local government. You don't need to be heard if you are represented. If you're represented, you must have been understood, right?
I would almost keep the word heard and then cross out, strike or, and replace it with and. So you get to hear and you're represented. You get to say something. If you strike heard, then it's not like they get to testify.
What's the objective of this passage?
Equity.
For what?
don't know, the government
to make sure that we're really considering all perspectives.
I actually think the statement as it's written is kind of important because I think it's speaking to two different things. Mm-hmm. We are representatives,
right,
of the individuals, and we need to also hear, and they and the general public needs to be heard, a la
okay.
public hearing.
Flip the order and.
Right. Well, the difference there, well, I was thinking about that. My first notion was that it would be and, but that means it's both. And I'm saying...
Not all voices are represented at this table.
Right.
So if we just have it as represented, then it's just whoever can make it onto that body is now represented. But if we leave it as two separate clauses, essentially there, we have two separate groups. Heard means, yes, not everybody's voice is represented here at this table by us,
right,
but we need to hear the voices that aren't. That all has to be taken into consideration.
I withdraw. I agree with you.
Yeah.
That should be war.
Okay.
So that one is leaving as
are
is.
We leaving
what
the
about the sentence?
As is, or where did we let out?
Well, I just wanted to make sure that I understood that piece, and it sounds like we've settled on leave that sentence alone. Back up to then to the first sentence of that paragraph. Difference between are made in consideration of input versus are made with guidance from the public. Was the two phrases that I heard.
I'm not okay with the guidance word. I think if you're going to say with guidance, just say with input from the public. I think the whole guidance adds more to
with
it.
The consideration of public input?
I was just saying, if you had a problem with consideration, I was just saying decisions are made with input from the public as provided to. Just take out the in consideration of.
In one sense, it seems duplicative, but I to say consideration and input.
Well, I'm seeing a two process there, right? The public has the right to provide input, and then we have a responsibility to consider
to take it into consideration.
So that's why I think both sentences are fine.
So I think what you said was substitute with for in. So it is are made with consideration of input from the public.
Yep. That works.
Yeah.
That sound okay?
Yeah, I mean, just to restate where I'm coming from. Again, that whole overarching theme of government does whatever the hell it wants to do,
yeah,
and the citizens, well, we just keep paying taxes. Anytime I can get back the other way on that, I'm going to jump on the train. So thank you for listening.
Anything else on 13? 14?
Agenda item when we get to the end?
Agenda item?
Yeah. It's usually an item on the agenda, but it's not tonight.
Well, we'll save non-agenda items for after this document then, okay? I hear nothing on 14 and 15. I guess that's what you're anticipating.
Yeah.
15. Okay. And did we miss anybody's comments going anywhere through? I want to go back and I think things I just want to speak to are a little more in general, because particularly in light of some of the conversation tonight about making sure that we're heard, and especially on the equity one, I think it's important. Mr. Costello has been he may not feel a great partner in this, but I consider that he's come to meeting after meeting, in particular representing and been part of this. And so a few of the things that he addressed, I wanted to make sure that were brought up within the context of the document. And as I do appreciate the time that he's put into reviewing it and spending his time here giving input. I won't go into the. I had the Brundtland Commission thing down. We talked about that a good deal. Tonight he was. We had in the comment, feeling that it was not customized to our community. And I just want to say for myself, I feel that we did a great deal of customization and that that's really the bulk of this document. And while the preamble is more from a broader context, I felt that, I mean, my feeling on what we've done through this has been a lot of thinking very deeply about our community and how we want this to read, and so I just wanted to, you know, respond to your comment about that and how you felt about that, that I heard you. Beyond that, the section B regarding property rights, again, I heard you. I think we had a very large, cumbersome section there at one time, and that was one of the things that we addressed a lot in the last review that we did. We looked at that quite a bit, and that's what really honed it down. We struck the majority of that language, and we've tweaked it again tonight. I think it's a pretty sound statement. And kind of one of the last things that I noted in the public input was feeling that we were missing information by not addressing the growth of government, and there were a number of aspects around, you know, just overall size of government and taxation, how it grows, and I did hear that. Personally, it didn't seem to me that this particular document was the right one to speak to that concern, but I think it's a valid concern, and that there probably are areas within the city documents and the way that the city proceeds that should consider that overall thought, because the overall size of government and its impact on our lives is something that we do all need to keep in consideration. So those were a couple of particular things that I had heard and wanted to speak to myself. At this point, then, we have a decision from what we've done, and I wanted to also, I guess, say, in kind of wrapping up my comments to the overall document, is that I guess one of the main points that you made in regard to not the document itself, but in regard to procedure, is that I wanted to ask Mike. So everything, yeah, I saw, we followed appropriate procedures in regard to notice and everything. There is,
yeah, we
doubt?
Followed. We did follow our procedures to the law. I do want to comment on what you were saying about the notify me section of our website. We have a system on our website that people can sign up for receiving notice of events and activities and so forth. So that will send out press releases. It sends out the calendar for upcoming meetings and so forth. But currently it's not set up to send out automatically notices, so notices of hearings and so forth. And that is a very valid and important comment that I do want to talk to our management about, to see how we can make the website function to send those out as well. Right now, it's the way that our website is set up, it's kind of a formula from the website company that certain things can feed into this notify me thing. But I do think that we can modify it to do notices. It probably will require a little bit more staff time to do it, but I think it is another good outreach tool that would be important.
Yeah. Specific to public meetings.
Yeah.
Right. But I think the important thing within that, I mean, all that progress is great, but sometimes, you know, that's sometimes where we can get trapped. We're so focused on trying to build certain things to help get public involvement that suddenly it may become the be-end all of how notice it can all go. So, I mean, notice used to be putting a page, a notice on the city hall door. That was the legal requirement. I think we've grown way beyond that, so that's a good thing. But I like what you're heading for. I guess my comment to it in regard to the changes in the time for input is that the draft we had before us tonight with very minor changes is the same copy that we worked from in our last meeting, to which I had provided edits and had been put out quite some time before that meeting. So I personally didn't see that we had oversight beyond that we've met the letter of the law. I didn't feel that we've missed in providing lots of opportunity for input, and particularly in that it's been a year-long process and a lot of different meetings of input. And so that was what I wanted to be sure and share, that I was hearing your comments. I appreciate those comments in particular, but I felt that we'd done all and beyond of making sure that the information is out there.
So I just want to share, we've had a few residents come and give us some thoughts and some testimony, but no one more than Mr. Costello. When he sent his notes, I took the time to download, print them out, and read through them. It caused me to go to the Washington State Constitution, reread the U.S. Constitution points that he brought up, and I feel that I didn't notice anything that constituted a taking of property, but I hope our city attorney looks at the policy we've drafted and make sure that those rights are ensured in the document overall. I think on a lot of the points in his notes that I got the sense that while it's individual freedoms focused, I think the sustainability element is also on the public interest focus. And so where we talk about coal fire plants, it's not in the public interest to do something in our city in that respect. And so I do appreciate the time he took to document everything and to supply us with a written comment, and appreciate the involvement. So.
Planning Commission's pleasure to entertain a motion to approve this and pass it on to Council or wherever you would like to go.
I'll make a motion that we pass the amended Chapter 10 Energy and Sustainability Element.
Got a motion on the floor, or second?
I'll second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Motion is to pass the energy and sustainability element
as amended
this evening. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Do we have an abstention?
Nope.
No.
Abstention. I started a question and realized it wasn't ready yet.
Okay. Motion carries. Great. That completes tonight's agenda. Jim, you said you had something on agenda.
Just really quick, two things. One, actually, so any written information that comes in relates to this topic or others prior to City Council meeting, it's going to get where it needs to go, right? So if a member of the public wishes to provide written comment, it's not like it's just going to get vaporized. It's going to get to the right source.
Well, this was the public hearing.
Right.
I think we could, there certainly is more public process ahead with the council, right, and they can consider additional input.
Yeah, I always have to remind me, whenever the council gets it, they could forget we even looked at it. So that's 2 cents on that. And then the off topic was, I brought up a number of meetings ago, might have been as much as a year ago. If you recall, we used to have a storm siren. It was back over there somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and it got taken down. Has that come up again? Do you know?
I thought you brought it up.
I did.
Two meetings ago.
Well, it was a motion.
I may have brought it up again 2 meetings ago.
Yeah.
I'm kind of bringing it back because
I did mention the motion to Ron Garrow.
Yeah.
I don't know, a month and a half ago or something. And I think he's got it on his list,
right,
of items to think about.
Yes.
Did you talk to him on January 2nd?
Well, I guess my question to you, I mean, this is not
through the news.
This is kind of like if we ever really needed to tell the citizens to tune into the radio,
mm-hmm.
that's the only way to do it. They might not get it right away. Like, what's that sound? Until it rings and one of the neighbors says, hey, tune into whatever, 1610. That information is not out there for people. It's certainly not out there for people who are either internet-based who really aren't paying attention to North Bend, and it's certainly not out there for the elderly folks who aren't listening to AM radio unless somebody tells them to, and they're living by themselves. So there's a whole bunch of the folks here, particularly those that are home all day, mm-hmm. that if something ever happened, anything from earthquake to a dam break that affected issues down south of us, all those things, to me, the siren gets people's attention. And because we don't have one, what's our alternative? Cops going through the streets with their PA systems? Just flip a switch and turn the siren on, and you can talk on the radio.
It should be an educational piece that goes through with that to say, I mean, I have no idea, like, but I don't know that I could ever put together all I could get on the radio.
Yeah.
And then to what channel? Yeah. I mean, there needs to be a significant.
Well, we got a couple of early warning flashers. I think there are two of them, right? Yeah. Opposite sides of town.
Really?
They're each entry to town,
yeah.
I recall.
Yeah. I don't know. Each
but I argue.
Ron told me that I was yeah.
If they're not flashing, you don't see.
Yeah. I would hear the siren and think, oh, I remember when I was in Iowa once, yeah. and there was tornadoes. We don't get tornadoes
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
But it does get your attention when Paul is seeing it.
So anyway, I'm not sure Ron's the only conversation piece. If it's, I mean, maybe
well, we've done the resolution, if I recall.
See what that
That's what I thought.
But that's our job is yeah. we've made a recommendation. Yeah. And that's it,
if you're able, if you're not able, if the system doesn't work to do documents and stuff that you're going to look into.
Yeah.
It might just be easy to put an asterisk or a disclaimer on there, just reminding for every notice that goes out, hey, the materials that will be discussed are on the website. Or just some little footer.
The notice does make reference to the website.
Okay. All right. I was just thinking if it calls it out, but that's there.
So just a quick question. Did the transportation element come up to City Council? And if so?
Yes.
Did it finally get passed?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it 2 years?
At least.
Yeah, I think that was just the last council meeting.
Yeah, that's one of those that always reminds me of one of my periodic harps is hearing back. Maybe we haven't always just like this one. This commission's got a lot of interest in where this goes.
Yeah.
And to Jim's point, we don't know if they'll spend a year on it. We don't know if they'll
that's a good point.
Move along quickly, but we'd like to know what happens because I, for one, don't have the time to track council workshops and committee meetings and those sort of things. So you know, we need to hear back from staff.
Yeah, that element didn't go through the CED committee. That's the committee that the planning staff attend to. It went through Public Works Committee, but from what I understand, it went through largely intact from what the Planning Commission's recommendation was. There weren't many modifications at all.
So. And I assume it's probably up on the website, so I'll just pull it up and see what they actually passed versus what we saw.
Yeah.
Great. Anything else for the good of the order tonight? Motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all.
Yep.
I was within 10 minutes.
Wow,
this worked.
A couple years.
Maybe not.